Good morning, everybody. I'm glad you could all join us today. There's a couple of phrases that I want to bring to your attention. You've probably heard them before. Me first. Let me try. I'm sure I can figure it out. I was the first. I want to be the first. What's in it for me? If I do this, what do I get in return? Now, this mindset puts self above all else. Now, I'm going to take some time to elaborate on that this morning as we dig into God's Word. Now, I do want to mention that today is 9/11, and we should remember the events that happened years ago. It's still something that's affecting a lot of people, and we need to hold them up in prayer. So before we do that, I would like for you to all turn to Mark chapter 12 and just mark that. We're going to come back to that here in a little bit. All right, well, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for the wonderful time of worship that the Clarks just let us in. Thank you for their willingness to serve. God, thank you that they're willing to switch Sundays with me. Lord, as we jump into your word today, I pray that you would open our eyes and our minds and our hearts. Father, let your word fall on good soil, and God, help us to be stewards of it. Lord, help me to put aside everything that is of me, and God, let your word go forth in Jesus' name. Well, who do we most often serve first? It's a pretty simple question. Me. Number one, right? We spend a lot of time caring for ourselves, honestly, just to stay alive. We got to eat, we got to sleep, we got to shower. Well, don't necessarily have to, but people tend to like us a little bit more if we do. Now, these are the tedious day-to-day things that we really just can't get away from. This is all stuff that, you know, everybody has to do. So it's not exactly what I'm talking about. Really, there's some things that I'd like to explore this morning that I think we're all guilty of time to time. And it's like I always say, when you're pointing a finger, you have to remember there's three of them pointing back at you. So point like this. Now, there are many stories in the Word where people have decided to do their own thing instead of what God specifically told them to do. And if we were to stand here and talk about all of those, we'd be here until next week. So I hope you brought your bedroll, some water, some food. Now, usually whenever someone decides to go off on their own plan, it doesn't really turn out very well for them. It leads to heartache, famine, struggle, strife, so on and so forth. There's instance after instance of that in the Bible. What's funny about it is usually it comes right after God has said, do this thing or this thing. However, God is always able to work that for his good. And that's a good thing because we are imperfect creatures that serve a perfect God. We're going to fail him. There's no doubt about that. And when we sin, we are putting our needs and feelings in a place of greater importance than the will of God. Now, what does God's word say about putting him first? But really, I mean, God is so serious about us worshiping him above all else that the first two of the Ten Commandments are about putting him first. Matthew chapter 6 is a really good guide on keeping God number one in our lives. And in chapter 6, Jesus is teaching how to live our lives in a way that honors God, how to pray in a way that honors God, how to fast in a way that honors God. And then we get to verse 19. And 19 through 34, that's where we're going to spend the bulk of our time at today. So if you would, go ahead and open your Bible. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. It's not far from Mark. And we're not going to read the whole thing. Starting in verse 19, it's talking about laying up treasures in heaven. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. In these next few verses, he's telling us not to be anxious. Don't worry about this. In verse 25, he says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So in 19 through 21, Jesus says not to store up things for ourselves on earth, where it can be lost or destroyed or taken from us. This is the stuff. Get more, get more. I won't be satisfied until I have this or this much of this, or until I get that next promotion or that new boat. But instead, he tells us to store up treasures in heaven. And what does he mean by that? He's saying that we need to focus our time and attention on the things that will matter after this life is over. Doing the will of the Lord while on earth, keeping his commandments. Jesus makes it pretty simple. And now we get to the part where you flip to that part that I told you to save, all right? Go ahead and flip over to Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. And you already know this one. Everybody's heard this. He's telling the great commandment. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And he even says there is no commandment greater than these. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Give him everything. I know it sounds like a lot, but really, I mean, he gave everything for us. So let's go ahead and we'll shoot back over to Matthew 6, 22. Going on from there. And now here Jesus is teaching that we need to be very careful about the things we allow to influence our lives. Because really, even the most seemingly innocent thing can distract us from God. It could be that, you know, that TV show you like to watch, or it could be those funny cat videos on YouTube. You know, the most innocent thing, if it takes our attention away from God, if we're putting that in a place where it's more important than God, then that has become an idol for us. And we're not putting God first. I like to play guitar. Sometimes I would like to just sit and play guitar all the time. But even as innocent of a thing as that is, if I'm doing that instead of spending time with my family, or if I'm doing that instead of loving my neighbors, or if I'm doing that instead of studying my Bible, then that has become something that's trying to drive a wedge between me and God. See, even the most innocent thing, keep your eyes focused on the Lord and you won't be distracted by everything around you. It's like when you're steering a car. My mom, she's the worst about this. She'd be going down the road, All of a sudden, she'll look over to the left, and she'll start to drift. And then she'll realize that she's doing that. She'll whip it back over, and then she'll see something over here, and she'll start to... And then you start hearing that... I call it driving by Braille. But in life, we do the same thing. You know, this is our path. You know, God has set us on this path, and this is the way that we're supposed to go. We got our hand on that steering wheel. Oh, I'm doing it again. Every day. That song you guys sang, the one right before the Your Grace Is Enough, that was perfect. That was exactly what I was trying to get across this morning. And all I told them this week was that we'd be talking about putting God first. And I'm really glad you had one more song after that, because I needed some recovery. There are so many things in this world that are battling for our attention. Even just driving down the road, you know, it's not as bad here, but we used to live in Missouri, and going from our place in Ozark to Branson, there were hundreds of billboards, and there'd be an advertisement for this. Come shop here. Come buy this thing. Come see this show. You know, it was always this big, flashy, attention-grabbing thing, and we're constantly bombarded by this stuff day after day, minute by minute, and sometimes second by second, and it can all just get in there and kind of muddy the waters, and we get to a point where we get desensitized by it, and you don't even notice it, but it still affects you. You're still subconsciously seeing those things and thinking about those things, and we have to make sure that in our walk that we're not paying attention to the billboards. We have to keep our eyes focused on what God has for us. The Word is the best place to start. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with God. But don't neglect spending time with His people. Iron sharpens iron. But sometimes, you know, that rubbing up against each other, that can cause sparks. Relationships aren't always easy. They're not always clean. They're not always fun. But God loves each and every one of us just exactly the same. He sent His Son to die for you, just the same as He sent His Son to die for you, just the same as He sent His Son to die for me. Not one of us here is perfect. If you're perfect, you need to be the one standing. I'll gladly sit down. But seeking God first and foremost, before anything else, it can be a bit daunting. And in verses 25 through 34, Jesus goes as far as to tell us that God will supply our every need. There's different schools of thought of this, but it's not talking about the stuff. It's not talking about the get more, get more, get more. It's talking about the things that matter. It's talking about the things that we actually need. So when He says God will give you the desires of your heart, that's in a different spot. But when God gives you the things that you need, it's because when you give yourself up to the Lord, when you give yourself over to God, and you let your thinking be transformed by Him, He makes you more like Him. There's none of us that are going to be perfected here on this earth, but we will be made more like Him. And our thoughts and our desires will start to align more with what He has in mind for us rather than what we have in mind for us. An example would be, when I was a teenager, I had much different motivations. It was, you know, what can I do to just coast through this? The absolute least amount of work that I could possibly do to where I could just be lazy. But now He's shifted my thinking, and it's more, what can I do to show people that I care, to show people that I love them? Honestly, I can think of nothing better than to stand here and tell all of you, my family, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that God is here. He loves you. He has a plan for you, even when you think He doesn't. But when it first comes to giving up that control, we can be a little bit stingy with it. I know I'm sure everybody here loves to let somebody else have control over them. Let's see a show of hands. Just kidding, don't. If you're anything like me, you don't want to give up authority to someone else. You don't want to be like, yes, I'll let you tell me what to do. That's something God's working on me. But we have to be willing to give ourselves up to the Lord, to let Him take over the steering wheel. But when we give God control, we don't have to worry about if we're drifting left or if we're drifting right, or stage right, stage left, whatever you want to say, because He's the one with the reins. And we're not sitting in the driver's seat anymore. We've moved over into the passenger seat. So when we let God have control, all we have to do is sit back and enjoy the ride. That's where this next part comes in. That's where the, and all other things will be added unto you. I'm not a very good passenger. There's an invisible brake pedal on my side, and sometimes it sounds like the bass is hitting too hard, so I'm over there. I'm not a good passenger. When it comes to my life, I'm not a good passenger either. Like I said before, I have failed. I've made a mistake. Keep watching, I might make another one. But we've all been there. We've all screwed up. I think everybody in this room could probably think of a time when maybe we've missed the mark just a little bit, or maybe a lot of it. But we have to remember that God is always there. He's always willing to take that broken pile of garbage that we've set on fire, and He can make it into something new. And when He makes it into something new, it's not just something new, it's something beautiful. It's something pure. Now, if there's anyone that knows what we need, it's God. He made us. He created us from the very first cell to the finished product, which you see here today. If He's capable of that, then there really is nothing that He can't do. There's nothing He can't provide for us that we truly need. And we have to remember that, because what we need, first of all, is a working, fruitful, righteous relationship with God, the creator of all. And Jesus says when we get that part down, the rest kind of comes along naturally. We no longer have to worry about where that next meal is coming from. We no longer have to worry about how we're going to spend our time. This is all written out for us from the beginning to the end. My brother-in-law, my sister's first husband, he was a Baptist preacher. And one of the things that he said really resonated with me. He said, following God is simple, but it's not easy. And there's a difference between those two things. Simple just means there's not a lot of steps to it. We lay down our life, we pick up the cross, we follow Him. Simple, three steps. Easy is not the way you would describe a Christian walk. Jesus doesn't guarantee that we'll no longer have problems in this world. He doesn't guarantee that everything's going to be peaches and cream, roses with no thorns. If you can find a place anywhere in this Word of God that says that, please show it to me. I would like to see it. Our life on earth isn't meant to be easy. When Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, He said, you're going to toil for the rest of your life and you're going to feel the pain of childbirth. But what we have to remember is that it is simple. Even when we fail, when we mess up, God is never farther away than us just turning around. And I know I've said it time and time again, and you guys are probably all sick of hearing me say it, but if you find yourself far from God, guess who moved? God is unchanging. God is always faithful. He's always the same. He's never going to be any different. And if we find ourselves far from God, we're the ones that moved. And He's already made the steps. He's already put the plan in place for us to be able to come back to Him. But if I lay a $100 bill out here on this table, it's just going to sit there unless somebody comes and picks it up. I didn't bring a $100 bill today. Sorry, I didn't mean to whet your appetite there. But it's the same principle. God's will, God's perfect plan, Jesus' love and grace, it's all there. All we have to do is accept it. Simply walk up, lay your crowns at the foot of the cross, give your life over, done. But then comes the work. Jesus didn't say, your sins are forgiven, now go forth and do whatever you want. Just get at it. Have life. No. He said, go forth and sin no more. Now, is there anybody in this room who can go forth and sin no more? Carol, I think that was a proper response. I can't go forth and sin no more. Like your song said, 1,000 times I've failed today. Today. It's not even noon. You know? I can't tell you how many times on a daily basis that something slips out of my mouth that I shouldn't said, or a thought comes across my mind that I shouldn't have had, and I have to go to the cross every time. Lord, I did not mean to do that. I should not have been like that. Help me to be better. Help me to change. Give me your spirit. Give me your thoughts. Give me your hands and feet. Work through me. It's all about surrender. And I know especially us guys in here, we love to surrender, don't we? I'm done. I'm over. No, it's okay. No, it's not. That's not the easy part. I can't think of very many times in my life where surrender has been a comfortable process. It's daily. We got to look inside. We got to look through the Word, but we've got to look in here too. We have to look at ourselves through the same scope of Scripture. If there's something that doesn't line up, we got to burn it out. In different places, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to go into life with one, or go into eternity with one eye rather than all eternity in hell and be whole. If your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. It doesn't need to be there. He says, we are the vine. He is the branch. A lot of you in here are gardeners. If you have a vine that's not producing, what do? Well, first you try to nurture it. You try to lift it up and see if maybe you can get it to do some stuff. But ultimately, if it doesn't produce fruit for you, you cut it off. If there's a vine in our life that is not putting forth fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, then we got to cut that vine off. We need to root out those seeds so that we can find them before they sprout. Because this is life and death we're talking about, plain and simple. We've got two choices. We can follow God, we can love Him, we can love His people, and we can spend eternity with Him, or we can go off on our own plan. Me first. What do I get? What's in it for me? And that's the road that leads to destruction. We go down that path, there's one way it can go. So it can be difficult to remember God first. We get busy. We get caught up in the hustle and bustle of everyday life, and things can just kind of get tossed aside. Not so much put aside, but you know, things can get forgotten. I get cluttered in here. And throughout the week, it can be really tough, especially when I've got a few things going on, you know, juggling work and church and all that other stuff. And I'll notice that, you know, I'm in just a rotten, awful mood, and I can't figure out why. And it's, oh, I didn't pray before I went into work today. Shoot, I got to stop and do that. Or I didn't take time to thank God for this thing that He gave me. I got to take time to do that. So we have to realize that everything we have, everything that's given to us in this world, is given to us by God. There's nothing that's here that exists outside of the creation of the Lord. The pews you're sitting on, the building we're standing in, well, I'm standing in, you're all sitting comfortably. Our clothes, these instruments here, ourselves. This is all stuff that's made, but if it wasn't for God, none of this would be here. None of us would be here. So why not put Him first? Why not come to the Lord first? We were talking last week in our adult Bible study about the children of Israel in Deuteronomy bringing their tithes. The tithes are the first fruits. A tithe literally means a tenth. But all that is it's an outward expression of what we're already supposed to be doing. We're giving God back what belongs to Him. It's not ours to start with. Our lives don't belong to us. This heart that's beating in this chest does not belong to me. The air that's going over my vocal cords and causing me to be able to speak these words was created by the everlasting God. Who am I to use that for anything other than His will and His glory? I'm dust. I'm made of dust. When I die, I'm going to go back to the dust. This here, and I kind of joke about it, but I've said it for years, when I die, I'm not going to be using this anymore. My spirit's going to be on doing heavenly things, and you can send this body to a tribe in Africa that still eats people for all I care. At least somebody will get some use after I'm gone. When we get caught up in the day-to-day, our prayer time can become rushed. our Bible reading can become a forced drudgery. Fellowship with others gets to be a dreary thing, and you'd rather do anything else. I'm saying this because I've been through it. And if this is you today, I'd like to offer this encouragement. Your God loves you. He loves you with a love purer than the purest gold. And his love is a precious treasure that's meant to be enjoyed and shared. He loves you so much, he was willing to give everything up for you. He came to earth, and this is, I'm going to paraphrase my lovely wife here. He came to earth in a time before deodorant was invented, in the desert. He lived a life. He was born. He was tempted just like we are. He felt discomfort. He felt pain. He felt sadness. But he felt joy. He felt love. He felt happiness, just like all the rest of us. So if there's anybody you can come to with your stuff, it's Jesus. He's been through it all, probably more than we've been through. I know I've never been crucified. We have to take that in mind. Our God loves us so much that he was willing to come to this earth, to leave heaven would be enough. He was born. He lived. He suffered, bled, and died so that we could all sit here and be saved. That's how much your God loves you. That's a love purer than gold. And when it comes to making him first, it takes a commitment. Now, if you'd like to make him first in your life, please get in touch with me. Talk to one of our board members here, one of our longstanding members in the church, or somebody that you know is a Christ follower. Just get connected. Don't leave it there. The Father bids you welcome. Come and dine. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for this time that we get to spend and study. Father, thank you for the word that you've put forth today. I pray that you would let these seeds grow. Father, thank you so much for giving up yourself so that we could be saved. Thank you for suffering the death that we deserved so that we could be saved. God, as we go on throughout this day and throughout this week, I pray that you would help us all remember that it's you first, others next. Help us to show love to all those that we come into contact with, Father, and help us to be intentional. God, thank you so much for your love and your grace, and thank you that we can call on that. Father, help us to see the world through your eyes. Give us your hands and feet so that we can reach people for your kingdom. I love you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.